Welcome to Tip TV Finance, where I'm joined by Philip Shaw, who's Chief Economist of Investec. How are you today, Philip?
I'm great, Zach. I'm great. How are you?
Long time no see, maybe from before the time of the new president, etc. I just wanted to ask you, just as an economist, obviously there's been a few rumbles about how economists did in forecasting the atmosphere after Brexit, but just how do you deal with the risk factors, you know, of having a loose cannon or wild card in the White House? I mean, does it throw everything out the window?
I presume you're talking about President Trump here. It makes things a lot more uncertain because the policy outlook is just so much less predictable than it would be under another president. And I think the message that we're getting really after the first, what is it, two and a half weeks of his presidency, number one, that he is trying to force through his electoral pledges. Secondly, though, that he is running into constraints with the law, and the travel ban from the seven countries, I think, is a prime example of that. So, you know, what we're trying to factor into the policy outlook is a mixture of those two principles, that he will try and cut corporate taxes, for example, and increase spending on infrastructure, but he's going to run into constraints from Congress and there's going to be some sort of compromise. But, you know, I do stress that it is very uncertain.
So, but he might actually, I mean, the fact that he runs into trouble with the travel ban, it might actually mean that he's forced to do the easier things, which, let's say, cutting taxes, nobody's going to complain too much about. So it might actually be better for the market in the end, but it's just the journey is just a really rocky ride.
It is a rocky ride. I'm not sure how easy it is to force a big fiscal package through. So, for example, ahead of the election, Trump was saying that, look, you know, we'll perhaps do half a trillion of stimulus and we don't need to pay for it. It's going to pay for itself because we're going to double growth. Now, you know, if I heard that, if I got a dollar every time I heard that over the past 30, 40 years, I'd be pretty wealthy. So the reality is that the Republicans tend to be fiscally conservative and we'd expect him to have to fund a significant proportion of his fiscal reflation package. Exactly how much, we don't know. How easy it's going to be to come to some sort of compromise, again, big question mark.
But won't there be a wall of money returning to the US from, you know, from the multinationals who've been hiding in various lax tax places? And that would be the source of his funds.
Yeah, a wall of money, absolutely. Yeah, there is talk about some amnesty or partial amnesty for corporate profits held overseas going back into the US. Absolutely. So, I mean, if the US manages to improve its infrastructure through, obviously, a private sector route there, then that releases pressure on the government. And don't forget that the US is running quite a large budget deficit. It's over 4% of GDP. And if I'm looking at this from the perspective of an economist, I know that senior Republican lawmakers are going to be looking with a little bit of unease at that situation as well.
Well, finally, I just want to come back to this country where there's some of the headlines from wonderful publications like City AM have been saying that this UK is going to be the top growth centre in the G7 either now or in 2050 or 2030. I mean, that the economy here in a post-Brexit world looks to be stronger than it was expected. But is this as wrong as the doomsters were before the referendum vote? Is it just a very volatile situation as well?
Well, the UK did do very well last year. It did grow. It was the fastest growing G7 economy. But, you know, remember, the States had a pretty poor year, which I don't think will be repeated over the next couple of years. In terms of where we are going forward, sure, there were a number of very pessimistic predictions for the UK, which we didn't subscribe to, but we're surprised that we didn't get a slowdown, and principally because business investment seems to have held up a lot better than we thought. We're going into a different phase through 2017, one where inflation is rising and likely to rise further, and that is probably going to hit on household incomes and therefore slow consumer spending down. So, you know, similarly, I'd be surprised if we didn't get a slowdown from 2% growth this year, but not a huge one. 1.7%, not exciting, but relatively respectable, I think, if we achieve that, given the sorts of uncertainties we've got over trade deals and the Brexit process generally.
I mean, this is hopefully a primary question for an economist. How much is the pound affecting the economy?
At the moment, not hugely. We're beginning to see higher import prices begin to get felt on the shops, in the shops. There might be some stirrings of greater export volumes as well, but I'm not convinced that we're seeing a big export upturn yet. We think that it will do through this year, and indeed what we're saying is that the fall in the pound, which is around 15% over the past 12 months, is a net positive for GDP. It hits consumption, but it should support exports.
But I mean, is it one of those situations that, let's say, now we think there's inflation coming, but if the pound goes back to 140 against the dollar and 130 against the pound euro, and we're back to where we were pre-Brexit levels, then the inflation story is finished again, isn't it? So that story is only as robust as the pound remaining low, which, if given where we are on the interest rate cycle, is only one way for the pound really to go from current levels, isn't it?
Well, I'm not sure that I would be quite as confident as that. And, there is a big if there, if we get up well above current levels. Actually, our forecast is for sterling to bounce back. We don't think that the degree of undervaluation of the pound is warranted by the uncertainty, given that our central view is for respectable growth over the next 2 years. Nonetheless, inflation is rising.
That's not just because of the weak pound. Is it some other factors?
There are quite a few things happening. You've got the fact that energy prices have bounced back strongly compared with falling energy prices a year ago. But the pound's weakness should make itself felt through the course of this year. Now, if we're correct about the pound not falling back further and indeed rebounding, we're looking at cable at 135 at the end of 2017. Now, if that's right, that should help the temporary nature, if you like, of the inflation spike through this year. So we're looking at something a little bit over 3% this year. Through the course of 2018, we're looking for that to come back, not quite towards 2%, but certainly below 3%.
So there could be a Goldilocks scenario of 2% inflation?
Not yet. I think the story of 2017 is probably one where inflation goes above 3% and the governor of the Bank of England has to start writing letters again, but this time to say why inflation is more than 1% above his target.
Philip Shaw, Chief Economist at Investec, thank you very much for coming in today.